Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news for 30 years now. Two languages all over the world, here in the U.S., interviewed four U.S. presidents, worked at four U.S. major television networks. I don't like what they do, by the way. See, I think news should be honest and direct and impactful. This is Direct Impact. I want to start with this. Look at that. You see that? Those are the voices of thousands of young people inside the United States protesting at Grand Central Station in New York City. Most of them are Jewish, by the way, and they're calling for a ceasefire in the Middle East. The group, Voices for Peace, has been staging many protests against Israel's treatment of Palestinians in the past and now. Why is this video so important? Why do I think this video is so important? Well, I'm going to come back to that as we move on through this show. But I want to start with this. Last week, I tried to break down for you the genesis of the Israeli conflict with Palestinians. I showed you how it all stems from the Balfour Accord, which is how the British one day decided that the people who lived in Palestine had to leave to make room for European Jews. And that is when it all actually began, right? Of course, we also know, and we pointed out, how since then there have been all types of battles and brouhahas, many of which have allowed both sides to point fingers at the other and say, it's you, this is your fault. Only to hear, no, it's yours, it's your fault. And now we come to this. Now we come to the situation we're seeing now, where we seem to be on the brink of something that could get really nasty, really quick. And I'm not talking about another so-called Middle East conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, as we've often covered them and called them. No. What we're talking about now is a potential theater of war that could involve the military might of many, many powerful countries, like the United States, the UK, and Canada. On one side, Iran, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and practically every single Arab country on the other. As to what countries like China, India, and Russia are going to do if there's a total escalation, my God, we can only guess. Now, last week, we had a couple of guests on here to talk about the history of this conflict and the debate ensued right away, right? You probably watched it. It was, to say the least, if you haven't seen it, you would discover extremely passionate. That's putting it mildly. What that showed us is just how difficult it is to have an objective, unemotional conversation, just to have a conversation regarding this issue, even when we're talking about history, which you would think most people could generally agree on, right? Something happened on such and such a date. So now what? What we're going to do is we're going to bring back those guests. Conservative radio host Steve Malzberg, who is a fervent defender of Israel. Dr. Norman Finkelstein, who is an equally fervent in his defense of the Palestinians. But before we do that, I'd like to catch you up on the news. Israel and the government of Bibi Netanyahu appear ready to use this force of biblical proportion. I don't use that word by coincidence, by the way. That is how Netanyahu is framing it. And his war cabinet, they're describing their actions in that way, which is only adding, by the way, gasoline to this fire, because now you have both sides saying that somehow God is only on their side, which means they're killing in God's name. That's not good. To be clear, there is general agreement that because of what Hamas did, there needed to be some kind of retribution, and that maybe the group needed to be eradicated. Hamas. Even Arab leaders agreed with that notion. The problem is the campaign to eradicate Hamas has now apparently turned into what appears to be a campaign to eradicate the entire Gaza population by sending troops into northern Gaza while effectively enacting a bombing campaign that has already killed more than three times the number of people that were killed by Hamas. Some are saying 3,000 children have been killed in Gaza already. 3,000 children? Most of these people are civilians, including women and the elderly. See, this heavy-handed strategy is making even those who feel bad for Israel now see them as offenders. Because the notion of collective punishment, it just doesn't cut it in that region of the world. Why? Well, because for too long, nothing in this conflict has ever happened in a vacuum. Meanwhile, our country's government appears to be giving Israel a blank check to do as they please with the Palestinians. And that unconditional U.S. support is not going over well, not at all. It may have worked. This is what we used to do in these conflicts back in the 1990s when Washington had technological, military, and geopolitical superiority in the region. But here's the problem. That is not the case today, not really. Yet the Biden administration, you know, a guy who's what from the 1940s and 50s in his thinking, the Biden administration is implementing the same Cold War initiatives that are likely to create a more dangerous conflict. In fact, American forces in places like Syria and Iraq are continuing to be attacked. The U.S. military has even shot down a Turkish drone. That's an ominous undertaking, considering Turkey is a NATO country with an impressive, if not ferocious, military, which is now clearly on the side of the Palestinians. So our government continues to tell Israel, do whatever you need to do. We got your back. Quote, we got your back. Now, what that really has come to mean is we will keep writing you huge checks, right? The problem is there isn't enough money to go around these days, certainly not to fund Israel's military in an escalating war while also funding Taiwan, while also funding Ukraine. Economists who point to the U.S. debt problem say that's impossible. Yet here we are on the verge of engaging in what is almost sure to become a devastating regional conflict that could lead to, I'm just going to say it, World War III. And most in Washington are barely even considering that potential outcome. Why? Well, in large measure, it's because our media has become a cheerleading team. They don't ask questions that they're supposed to be asking. And when it comes to the coverage of the Palestinians' point of view, it's non-existent. So let's go back now. Remember this image I showed you at the top of the show? Where thousands were seen protesting for peace. Most of them Jewish Americans, by the way. I checked, and it appears that CNN didn't even cover it because it doesn't fit their pro-war narrative. That is why what we're about to show you is something I'm confident you won't see on any other news network. What we're about to do here is an actual debate with both sides of this Mideast conflict represented, as opposed to just the point of view of Israel. Steve Malzberg is a popular radio talk show host who I've known for years. Dr. Norman Finkelstein is an activist and author whose books include Gaza, An Inquest into Martyrdom. Steve, you are being perceived as someone who is not concerned, and this should be obviously a very important concern for all of us as Americans, that we could be on the brink of all-out war with Iran, at least if we hear the rhetoric both from Washington and from Tehran, not to mention the shooting going back and forth. He says, Dr. Finkelstein, that if the Israelis go in full force with troops into the Palestinian areas, there's no question that not just Iran, but other Arab countries will be involved, and that will conflagrate this war. How concerned are you about that?
Oh, of course, it's very concerning. But, you know, I take pride when a Nazi supporter calls me names. I love it. I wear it as a badge of honor. And thank you. Keep doing it, sir. Look, of course, because I'm calm. You think anybody wants war? Anybody wants the U.S. to get involved? Anybody wants World War III? But the bottom line here is that Israel cannot allow more butchering, Nazi butchering, unprecedented since World War II, butchering of their citizens. You know, Hamas is holding 9-month-old babies and 90-year-old women right now in tunnels somewhere. Israel cannot allow this to happen again. And by the way, the world can't allow it to happen. Because if we now start saying, well, if you have human shields, Rick, God forbid, someone comes into your home, okay, and they got guns, but you happen to have people in your home with guns, okay, and these people say, I'm going to kill your children, but they have babies or women in front of them. Would the people protecting your home, in your home, not protect, not fire at the people who came into your home because they might kill a civilian who's in front of them? The world can't operate like that.
No, and
you can't change rules like that.
Fair point. Dr. Finkelstein, what do you say? What do you say? Let me ask you the question. Let me ask you the question, and I'll try and phrase it as fairly as I can. What do you say to Steve and others who say we have a right to defend ourselves because of the atrocity that was done to our civilians, our citizens, by Hamas? What do you say to that?
I say that Israel has the right to defend itself after it opens up the gates of Gaza concentration camp. But so long as those gates are shut tight, as they have been since 2006, I do not believe guards have the right of self-defense in the face of a concentration camp. I don't think the Nazis had the right of self-defense if there were an insurrection in Auschwitz or any of the other concentration camps.
Rick, I'm shocked, really, Rick, that you're putting up with this concentration camp crap. Do you believe, Rick? Egypt keeps Gaza closed.
Yeah.
Do you believe Gaza is a concentration camp?
I'll tell you, you're allowing this man to say this.
Over and over. Yes. I don't get it.
Finish up, Dr. Finkelstein, and then I'm going to give you a chance to respond to him, Steve. Okay. Go ahead.
Now, I'm appalled by what happened on October 7th. But you know what? You know what the people in Hamas did? They did what Israel periodically does in Gaza.
They mowed the lawn.
You hear my expression? They mowed the lawn.
Please.
You might find that a disgusting expression, and I do too.
I don't find it disgusting.
When that same expression is used. By the Israeli government.
Yeah. Okay. I find you disgusting, sir. You are disgusting.
Nobody is shocked.
Gentlemen, one at a time. One at a time. Dr. Finkelstein.
Let's do this. Now Hamas mowed the lawn.
We have a disagreement, gentlemen.
Why is it used by Israelis when periodically they go in and say we're mowing the lawn?
It's okay.
So listen, let's do this. Dr. Finkelstein.
A lawn that consists of 1 million children.
Your point consists of 1 million children. Your point is a fair one and an accurate one. There are a million children in that area. The question is, and this is what I want to talk about when we come back from the break. And Steve, I want you to start us off here. You've heard this charge many times. The treatment that Israelis give to Palestinians living in these areas like the Gaza is oppressive, is wrong. This is not a charge that I'm making. It's been made by human rights groups. It's been made by Palestinians. It's been made by many. What do you believe is the way or the treatment of those people by Israel? I think that's a fair question. That's what I want you to take on when we come back. I'm talking to Steve Malzberg and Dr. Norman Finkelstein, and we are going to be right back. By the way, we'll continue this conversation with you as well. Go to Twitter, and you'll find me there at Rick Sanchez TV or X or whatever they call it these days. I'm looking forward to having that conversation with you. And when we come back, of course, the very latest on the U.S. military's engagement in this conflict and what it means for the future of the region. Stay right there. We'll be right back with my two very passionate guests. All right, welcome back. We are joined by our expert panel once again, Dr. Norman Finkelstein and Steve Malzberg. Gentlemen, welcome. Dr. Finkelstein has used the words repeatedly, concentration camp, when referring to the treatment of Palestinians. It's obviously heated language, but he's not the only one who's used it. I should be fair and mention that. Steve, you take umbrage at that terminology. It's not just your words, but your reaction as I'm watching you.
It's because, Rick, it's not only disrespectful, insensitive, and it's insane. Okay, AOC. A congresswoman here in New York from the United States said that our border, we were keeping the illegal immigrants that come into the country in concentration camps. The left likes to throw it around. Now, when you show me the gas chambers and the ovens and the skeletons and the starvation and the forced labor and the lampshades made from the skin of those people that were in the real concentration camps run by the Nazis, then we could talk. But to throw that around casually because you hate Jews and you hate Israel is not ignorant.
So then let me ask you. I think this is something our viewers are going to want to hear from you. How would you then characterize the way that Palestinians are forced to live by a country they say is occupying them there in Gaza? How would you characterize it?
They're not occupying them in Gaza. Israel left Gaza. Israel gave Gaza to the Palestinians. Israel, when they left on the way out, left greenhouses, infrastructure, all kinds of things to give the Palestinians a head start. What's the first thing literally they did? Tore everything Israel left down and celebrated over as they tore it all down, left themselves with nothing, and then elected a terrorist group to represent them and run the territory. The terrorist group then did terrorist-like things and always has. Why do you think Egypt has their border with Gaza closed?
So would you say we only talk about Israel?
So, and I know we're talking about Israel right now.
Well, so obviously, because they're these are the two antagonists. So would you say, give me a word, give me a description. The treatment of Israel toward Palestinians in Gaza is what? Describe it.
Is justified for self-defense.
Okay.
It's justified. But listen, let me tell you one thing. Israel today revealed evidence that Hamas's main headquarters in Gaza is located under the Shifa Hospital. That's who the animals of Hamas are. They use their people as human shields. They want them dead so they could score public relations points. That's the kind of animals we're dealing with.
Okay, Dr. Finkelstein, your response.
Okay. There's a historical question, and then there's the factual question of today. The historical question is, in 2006, did Israel withdraw from Gaza? In fact, Israel redeployed its troops on the perimeter of Gaza. Israel controlled the airspace. Israel controlled the water. Israel controlled everything that went into Gaza, everything that went out of Gaza. Now, to get to the current situation, when we refer to the animals, who exactly are we referring to? We know for certain because Israel's president, Mr. Herzog, said on the second day, on October 8th, he said, we do not make a distinction between Hamas and the civilian population. They are all the same. He was very emphatic on that point. There is
nobody
no distinction.
Nobody in an official position of there Israel is no has, distinction has that policy.
Between a five-year-old in Gaza and a Hamas militant. According to
nobody
the Israeli
believes that.
Government,
you're full of crap.
We don't
you
distinguish.
Are full of crap.
And that's
You've
exactly
been
Steve,
why.
Steve, let him finish. Let, just time. Let him finish his point, and then I'll give you time to disagree.
And that's exactly why.
Wow.
That's exactly why they're not admitting any water, any fuel, any electricity, and any food. That was stated by the defense minister Gallant on the second day. It's a war okay. of extermination, not okay. against Hamas. It's a war of extermination against the people of Gaza. And unlike any other case that I am aware of, it was publicly announced by every senior Israeli official. We will not distinguish between Hamas.
Oh, get out! He's lying. Why do you let him lie?
So let me ask you. So
Rick,
what?
You
no.
know better than that.
Well, what I know is that when I have two guests, I should give them both their piece, and you have an opportunity now to essentially counter what he just said. There has been a lot of heated rhetoric, though, from both sides, including from Israelis, who have said some pretty awful things about Palestinians in general. Do you cop to that? And if not, Steve, take. Teach us what the palace, what I'm sorry, the official position is.
Teach us. You need to be. He said every government official said there's no difference. That is the complete antithesis. He's sitting there and lying through
yeah.
his teeth.
No,
and
no.
he knows it. And he knows it. Now.
Fair point. But the Israeli defense official did say some pretty blasphemous things about the Palestinians.
Yeah, Rick, imagine. After they severed the heads of babies, he said some pretty tough things, okay. Hamas. Wow, the emotions got caught up in him. But look at what they're doing. They still haven't gone in on the ground. This liar says there's been no food, water, fuel, blah, blah. There have been trucks coming in. Now, the reason Israel doesn't allow all the fuel is because Hamas will take the fuel. They run the government. They run Gaza. Mm-hmm. They'll steal the fuel and they'll use it for offensive weapons purposes. They're animals. They're animals. They don't care about the civilians.
The
so
language.
That's why even though trucks have been coming in, which is a lie, answers the lie to what this guy just said, that none have, they have, but Israel has to be very careful about what they allow in.
Now,
go ahead and finish, Mr. If you want to clarify something, Dr. Finkelstein, go ahead.
Okay. I was referring not to the pressures that were exerted on Israel. I was referring to the statements that were made the day after October 7th. Is your guest, your expert at reading Israeli talking points, is he going to deny that the defense minister said there will be no food, no water, no fuel, and no electricity allowed into Gaza? Is he going
I
to deny
no idea what he said in the immediate after?
Allow me I to have finish. No- is he going to deny
well, you asked that a question, Dr.
President Herzog President Herzog said in the second day, we will okay. not distinguish between Hamas and
okay.
the civilian
I heard this already. You want me to answer?
Now I'm going to ask okay. you a simple question or your audience a simple question.
Go ahead.
If you deny food, water, electricity, and food and fuel to a population for a sustained period of time, because Benjamin Netanyahu announced the second day that this was going to be the longest war. Now, the last war was in 2014. It lasted 51 days.
And your question is?
So, in Netanyahu's mind, this was going to last 51 plus days. If you deny a civilian population food, water, electricity, and fuel for 51 plus days, what happens?
That's a question, Steve. That's
if a
that's
genocide.
Dr. Finkelstein, genocide to you, Steve. You have to answer that charge. You're down. We're down to a minute, my friend.
Well, first of all, that has not happened because there are trucks coming in. That's number one. Number two, ask Hamas. When Hamas gets out, when Hamas lets people leave, the people could leave. Israel says Egypt could open their border and take them. Mm-hmm. Hamas won't allow it. Hamas won't allow it. So screw Hamas, and it's their problem and their fault.
And with that, we have to end the discussion. It's a passionate one at that, and obviously some very important points and some heated words have been used in this discussion, but that's the state of things as they are. I want to thank you, Dr. Norman Finkelstein, as well as Steve Malzberg, for sharing this combative, passionate, but important debate that we were able to bring you. My thanks to you both. Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission here. What we try and do with this show is simply to de-silo the world. We all tend to think that we only live in one little box and we only get information about our particular point of view. We think it's important that there should be more than one point of view. Truth doesn't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for it, and I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.